On Monday, we read from your letters. Our show on unsolicited marketing prompted Ben Linton to offer this suggestion for direct marketers who want to preserve their ability to pitch by phone. I don't care about this issue either way, but if telemarketing is so effective, why don't telemarketers lobby the public in their own defense, say, at dinner time? Rich Crimi intended to listen to that same program, but was fittingly interrupted. Just as your show started, the phone rang, he writes. A short silence, then a voice. Hello, Mr. Crimi. And Wesley Twombly wrote in to make note of another form of unsolicited marketing. I find spam to be much less offensive than junk mail. No waste to get rid of, no jamming of my mailbox. With junk mail, I have to go through it and make sure nothing important is caught between the two pieces of junk mail or within the folds of large ones. This doesn't even count the trees, fuel, and ink needed to produce the physical junk mail. Get rid of junk mail first, then deal with spam. Many listeners enjoyed our show with New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman. This from Andrea Wallace. Please let Thomas know that I think he did a brilliant job answering questions with detailed facts rather than emotion and understanding the concerns of others while explaining so well why our president is taking such actions. It's well appreciated, and I hope to hear him again on NPR. But some listeners were critical of Mr. Friedman's analysis regarding France's motives for opposing the war in Iraq. Wrote Mark Ehrlich of Beaverton, Oregon, I think Mr. Friedman's perspective is too simple. Of course France would like to have a share in the Iraq projects, and of course it wants the U.S. to stumble, to humble our arrogant foreign policy. After all, who wants a hyperpower in a china shop? But France also wants a more democratic world government, because then the weak have some protection in that world from a mad and wounded bull. And finally, we didn't have time to answer all the good questions that came in during our show on the Air Force Academy sex scandal. One caller wanted to know how the experience of integrating women into the Air Force compared with the integration of African Americans. Joining us one more time is Rosemary Mariner. She's a retired Navy captain aviator and research fellow for the University of Tennessee Center for the Study of War and Society. She joins us by phone from her home in Norris, Tennessee. Thanks so much for being with us again, Rosemary.
Glad to be back.
First of all, is it possible to draw parallels between those two experiences, that is, integrating women into the military, comparing it to integrating African Americans?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the policy documents on having separate forces for African Americans prior to World War II, they look like almost the exact same rationale that has been used to exclude women in the second half of the 20th century from combat positions and full integration in the armed forces. And that is because both men, black men and women are judged on the basis of a negative stereotype, which is the idea of prejudging, and it is used as the basis for segregating forces. However, it is an axiom of military socialization that successful cohesion takes place when people have shared experiences, often difficult ones, under strong and unambivalent leadership, and that causes the "we are all in this together" phenomena. It is the logic behind boot camp, elite training programs, and it is fundamental to military academies.
Are there lessons to be learned from the experience of integrating African Americans into the military for the experience of integrating women into the military?
Well, one of the primary lessons is you can't have two armies. You can't have a black one and a white one, and you can't have a pink one and a blue one. Policies that differentiate the treatment of women based on their gender and separate them out from the mainstream, or leaders that don't want to have successful integration are all things that lead to problems, and we've learned that from our experiences with race in the military.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Rosemary.
Okay.
Rosemary Mariner is a retired Navy captain aviator and research fellow for the University of Tennessee Center for the Study of War and Society.